Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Salamun Alaikum, and thank you for listening to this episode of today's special. This episode is really special because today is the birthday anniversary of Lady Fatima, peace be upon her, and of course in Iran it's named as Women's Day. Of course, today we have another special occasion too. Today is the birthday anniversary of the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini. May Allah keep his soul in peace. So thousands of congratulations on this special day to all of you.
Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, flower of Ali. Ya Hawra, Ya Hawra, delight of Nabi.
Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, flower of Ali. Ya Hawra, Ya Hawra, delight of Nabi.
I wish to extend my congratulations to all Muslim brothers and sisters all around the world on birthday anniversary of Lady Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her.
The one and only daughter of Taha wa Yasin, the best of daughters given to Ummul Mu'mineen. We ask you to intercede for us on Qiyamah, so that with you we may also enter Jannah.
Today's Thursday, 20th of Jamadi Uthani, 1447 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri Calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Azar, 1404 of the solar calendar, and the 11th of December, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, happy Eid. Today is the birthday anniversary of Lady Fatima. Peace be upon her. Lady Fatima is the daughter of Prophet Muhammad. It is known among both Shiites and Sunni Muslims that Prophet had many times said Fatima is above all women of the world, from the first to the last ones. In Arabic, the word Fatima means separated. She is named Fatima because her followers are separated from the hellfire because of her character. Zahra means shining or bright and brilliant. Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, when our mother Fatima Zahra prayed, she shined for the heavens as the stars shine for people on earth. Most of the Shiites and some of the Sunni commentators, such as Fakhr Razi, believe that the first verse of chapter Al-Kawthar of the Holy Quran refers to Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. Lady Fatima owned elegant dignities and virtues. There are many lessons left to learn from her. One of the sayings of her is, if someone sends his pure prayer up to Allah, Allah will send down best welfare to him. Among Iranians, her birth anniversary is designated as Mother's Day to uphold the place and character of women on the greatest of women's birth anniversary. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to every woman all around the world on the birthday anniversary of Lady Fatima, the daughter of the last messenger of Allah.
Comes to Imam al-Baqir in Medina. He's one of the Shias of the Imam. He says, Ya ibn Rasulullah, hadithni bi hadithin fi fadli jaddatika Fatima. O grandson of the Prophet, tell us a hadith about the greatness of your grandmother Fatima. Something about her merits and her virtue. إِذَا أَنَا حَدَّثْتُ بِهِ الشِّيَعَةَ فَرِحُوا بِذَلِكَ. Tell me something about the virtue and the merit of your grandmother that if I share it with other Shias, it will make them happy. Listen to this hadith. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, he mentions many things about Fatima, and then he says about Fatima, فَإِذَا صَارَتْ عِنْدَ بَابِ الْجَنَّةِ. Imam al-Baqir, he says, on the day of judgment, when Fatima al-Zahra is escorted to paradise, she will stand at the gate of Jannah, at the gate of paradise. Taltafitu. She will stop. She's being escorted to go into Jannah. She will stop and she will look behind her. She will look back. Fayaqulu Allah. Allah will say to her, Ya bint Habibi, O the daughter of my beloved, meaning the daughter of the Prophet, Rasulullah's Habib. O the daughter of my beloved, maltifatuki wa qad amartu biki ila al-jannah. Why did you look back? Why did you stop when I have admitted you into my paradise? Fataqul ya Rabbi ahbabtu an yu'rafa qadri. Oh Allah, I wanted people to know my right and my position on this day. She only lived for 18 years in this life. Many people never even heard of her, don't know who she is. Many of the Muslims today, you'll barely hear her name mentioned in the masjid if you go every day out of the year. But Yawm al-Qiyamah is the day where everyone is going to know about who Fatima is. She says, I wanted my worth, my right, my position to be known on this day. Allah will say to her, فَيَقُولُ اللَّهِ ارْجِعِي فَانْظُرِ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ حُبٌّ لَكِ أَوْ لِأَحَدٍ مِّن ذُرِّيَّتِكِ خُذِي بِيَدِهِ فَادْخُلِيهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Go back among the people and find anyone who loves you or loves any of your progeny, and take them with you into Jannah. Imam al-Baqir, he says, فَوَاللَّهِ, I swear by God, إِنَّهَا ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ لَتَلْتَقِطُ شِعَتَهَا وَمُحِبِّيهَا كَمَا يَلْتَقِطُ الطَّيْرُ الْحَبَّ الْجَيِّدِ مِنَ الْحَبِّ الرَّدِيِّ. Imam al-Baqir, he says, I swear by God, she will go back among these trillions of people and she will handpick the lovers, her lovers and the lovers of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, and she will pick them out in the same way a bird picks out the good seeds from the bad seeds.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا Let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate.
Father and Daughter is the title of this part. Prophet Muhammad and his daughter had an extremely powerful relationship. Even Aisha, the Prophet's wife, has spoken about the strong relationship between Muhammad and Fatima. She said, Never have I seen anyone like the Messenger of Allah in his solemn way of standing and sitting more than Fatima. May Allah grant her more honors. When she came to see him, he would rise to his feet, take her hand, kiss her, and seat her where he was seated. And when he came in to see her, she would stand up, kiss his feet, kiss him, and seat him where she was seated. Aisha has also said, "Never have I seen anyone resembling the Prophet of Allah in his way of speaking and talking better than Fatima." When people threw stones at the Prophet of Allah, it was Fatima that came and cleaned the way and helped him. And as much as Fatima loved the Prophet, he loved her back. Dear brothers and sisters, accept our congratulations on the happy birthday of Lady Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, leader of the women of paradise, the only daughter of the Holy Prophet of Islam, the mother of the leaders of youth of paradise, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, peace be upon them all. National Women's Day and Mother's Day celebrated on this day, which marks the birthday anniversary of Lady Fatima. A large number of believers take the occasion of this holiday to honor their mothers, grandmothers, wives, and sisters, and pay tribute to them by giving them gifts. It's notable that Imam Khomeini attached significance to the birth anniversary of the daughter of Islam by announcing the day as Women's Day. Imam recommended the women to follow footsteps of Hazrat Zahra, Lady Fatima, in order to obtain spiritual prosperity in this world and the salvation for the hereafter. Lady Fatima extended her great assistance to her father in promoting the divine religion in early days of Islam. Several narrations by the Holy Prophet himself are an evidence for great spiritual position of Lady Fatima and her proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Fatima al-Zahra once asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, when she was married to Ali ibn Abi Talib, she says, Ya Rasulullah, what is the role of the wife and what is the role of the husband? Rasulullah, he says, the role of the wife is the task within the house, and the role of the man are the tasks outside of the house. Now, many feminists at this moment, they would probably be giving me very dirty looks. But we have to keep in mind, brothers and sisters, that Rasulullah is not saying that a woman shouldn't work or a woman cannot leave the house. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi is saying that if you want to achieve the best stability, this is the best way to achieve it. What does Fatima al-Zahra reply? Does she say, Ya Rasulullah, I'm a woman, I want to go out, I want to work, I want to do this and that? The answer that she gives is what a true believer responds when Rasulullah gives a statement. She says, فَلَا يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ مَا دَخَلَنِي مَنَ السُّرُورِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. No one knows the pleasure I experienced when I heard this statement except Allah. Full submission, even if you don't like it. Allah summarizes the spirit of iman in one verse. Allah says, فَلَا وَرَبُّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتْ وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. Allah says, true believers are the ones who, whenever there is a dispute, major or minor, they refer to Rasulullah. When the Prophet gives a verdict, they submit wholeheartedly without any, even the slightest aversion in their hearts. Full submission. This was Fatima al-Zahra. Fatima al-Zahra reports that one day I was performing domestic chores. She says, قَدْ مَجَلَتْ يَدَايَ مِنَ الرِّحَى. My hands were full of blisters because of the household chores. What was Ali ibn Abi Talib doing? وأبو الحسن يحمل الحسن والحسين. The Imam عليه السلام, when Fatima al-Zahra was taking care of the domestic chores, was he just sitting and watching? There was cooperation and mutual respect and love. He was performing the child care. He was caring for Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. This is a healthy marriage, brothers and sisters. One day, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, he comes to the house. He returns home and he asks Fatima al-Zahra, "Oh Fatima, is there any food?" She says, "Ya Abul Hassan, there is not a morsel of food in the house." He tells her, "Ya Bint Rasulullah, why didn't you tell me that the house was empty of food, that we don't have food?" She says, "I didn't want to place a burden on your shoulders. I would always give you my share of the food and I remained hungry. I just drank water." Her demands were very minimal.
Dear brother and sister, today is Eid. We congratulate to all of you and happy Eid. Fi amanillah.
We're here on this special day. Our hearts are full of pleasure. A day that brings the two of you close together. We're gathered here to celebrate a moment you'll always treasure. We ask Allah to make your love last forever. Let's raise our hands and make dua like the Prophet taught us. And with one voice, let's all say, say, say.
Talk it down, turn the other way. Fear the truth, but it won't go away. Can you hear it calling? Yeah. You can write it down, but nobody cares. It's an untold story of our biggest fears. It can reach you with no warning. Yeah, yeah. When the sun goes down and there's nothing left around, can you feel it? Can you feel it? When your knees are on the ground, you may fear, but it's allowed. Are you listening? 'Cause I need forgiving. There's a part of me that won't understand, having sleepless nights with my head in my hands. I'm here and tears are falling, yeah. If I could right the wrongs, would you lend me a hand? I would make a difference to this beautiful land. If I'm nothing, I have my intention. When the sun goes down and there's nothing left around, can you feel it? Can you feel it? When your knees are on the ground, you may fear, but it's allowed. Are you listening? 'Cause I need forgiving. I need forgiving.
Thank you for joining us. Among the topics addressed by Hebrew media were the second phase of the Gaza Agreement, Iran and the situation on the Lebanese front, as well as Syria. We will discuss these topics further with Mr. Ali Murad, writer and political researcher, joining us here in the studio. Hello and welcome, Mr.
Thank
Ali.
Thank you very much.
Attention is now turning to the nature of the international forces planned to be formed as per the second phase of the Gaza Agreement. Hebrew media revealed that Italy is currently holding contacts with the Americans and other parties to send its forces to participate in this force. It appears that the international force in Gaza is going to be similar to the UNIFIL force in South Lebanon, where the greatest troop contribution will be from Europe, with the mandate of being peacekeeping, but as opposing to disarmament.
Well, first of all, we have to take into consideration that the UN resolution, the last resolution that was issued by the UN Security Council, does not give the authorities of this force to be deployed in Gaza to use force.
Yes.
Because they needed a seventh chapter vote, which didn't happen with the resolution 2803. So I think what we are listening to, what they are claiming in the Zionist media, I think they are trying to express that it's going to be soon, and I think it's going to take more time, because even Italy and other European countries are not willing to deploy their forces inside Gaza without guarantees. They need guarantees, security guarantees, that the Palestinian resistance factions would not attack those forces, because you cannot talk about peacekeeping.
So the second phase of the agreement will take more time, you're saying, to
yes,
be implemented?
Because there is a quagmire here for Trump. Trump wants Turkey to send forces into Gaza. Benjamin Netanyahu is still refusing this. The Americans know well that the Turkish forces are to be accepted by Hamas and other resistance fighters inside the Gaza Strip. But in the face of the refusal from Benjamin Netanyahu, that's why it's taking more time. I think that Trump is going to oblige Netanyahu in the end to accept that Turkey would send forces inside Gaza Strip, because this is the only option.
Because the European forces are not interested in sending their troops meanwhile?
They are not interested because they don't have security guarantees. So that they won't be attacked.
Turkey wins? Turkey,
they have those security guarantees, I think, because we know the relations between Hamas and Turkey and other resistance movements. You cannot talk about peacekeeping mission and at the same time a disarmament mission.
Exactly.
It's going to act in a hostile way against the resistance, which would invite a retaliation by the resistance fighters. That's why I think Turkey would be accepted by the Palestinians.
But also it's a matter of dispute between the U.S.
Exactly.
and Israel. Meanwhile, this topic received widespread attention on Israeli social media. Let's listen.
Michelle, the Palestinians succeeded in extorting the entire world to rebuild their terrorist state in the Gaza Strip. Dudi, at the ambassador's conference, Netanyahu affirmed the transition to the stage of disarmament in Gaza and readiness to test the international force. But this will not happen except with Trump's consent. David Gellerman, Trump manages Netanyahu like a puppet, while he continues to talk about absolute victory that produced 35,000 fighters still in Gaza, while Hezbollah gains more strength and Iran renews its missile and nuclear stockpiles.
Israeli calls for escalation against Iran, meanwhile, continue as analysts emphasize that drastic action must be taken against what they described as an existential threat posed by the Islamic Republic. Do you think that Israel and the U.S. see eye on eye concerning Iran? Because obviously, according to this report, Trump is saying that he's more focused, that's what they're trying to describe, he's more focused on Gaza, Syria, Lebanon, while Israel constantly, and most of the reports that we actually observe, they're always speaking about Iran.
I think that they are not on the same page here, because take a look to the reaction of Donald Trump right after the aggression, the U.S. aggression on the Iranian nuclear reactors.
Mm-hmm.
He was portraying this aggression as if it was the first and the last attack on Iranian facilities that threaten the Zionist entity. It's like he was telling the Israelis that I have done it for you, and it's going to be this time and
one time shot.
One time shot. Of course, the Israelis are not satisfied with the outcomes of the aggression, the 12 days aggression on Iran.
And that's why they constantly speak about possible attacks and possible war.
Exactly. When they talk about the cards, they had cards, tough cards. They confess that it took them years to build on those strong cards, and they used them. And they failed, actually, to reach their goal. Their ultimate goal was to oust the regime. The regime would fall inside Iran.
Yes.
And that's why they expressed it openly during the first 3 or 4 days of the aggression. I think Trump now is more interested to succeed in Gaza, because it's his reputation, his image that is at stake. Because he personally took it with his chest that he is going to succeed in Gaza. He's going to prevent the reasons that would put them again into a continuous war, a wide-scale war, regional war that has no end.
And presented himself as a peacemaker.
That's why he is interested now in satisfying the demands made by his popular base, MAGA. They are pressing Trump that he has to end this.
Yes, and even his national security, of course, does not show any desire for war in the Middle East. However, here the major question concerning this report, if Israel has a different eye on what's happening inside Iran, will the Americans still refuse to indulge in any war, as long as you're saying that Trump is somewhere else?
I think that the Americans now, they are in charge everything that has to deal with aggressions, whether in Gaza, whether in Lebanon, whether in Syria, and of course in Iran.
Yes.
We are witnessing now how the Americans are, managing all the activities now taking place in the region. And I believe personally that the Americans have been doing this since 2 years. But now, as they succeeded in forcing Benjamin Netanyahu to end, to reach a ceasefire in Gaza, they want to prevent any reasons that would make Benjamin Netanyahu come again and say we need to go again in Lebanon or in Gaza or whether in Iran. That's why I think Americans are keen now to solve some issues regarding the, making this buffer zones around the Zionist entity, to tell the Zionists that
you are protected and no need to launch more wars.
You ensured your security. Okay. You have no excuses anymore for more wars.
Okay. In the same context, one Israeli commentator said that Iran has come to possess major military and missile capabilities that threaten the Israeli entity, and that war against it is the way to prevent this threat. Isn't it a sign that Israel's previous war on Iran was not a success, when the assessment here, according to this report, that if another war to be launched, then we can analyze that Iran is ready for this war? That means the first round of war was not successful. However, they were bragging that it was.
Well, first of all, we have to take into consideration that the Israel lobby in the United States is putting pressure on the U.S. administration to adopt the vision that the job is not finished, that we have to go for a second stage of war against Iran. And they are claiming that Iran is possessing more armaments and missiles capabilities, and they are on the verge of waging the second stage. I think this is nonsense, because Iran has made it clear that they are on the defense side. Situation here. They are defending their soils, their sovereignty, and at the same time, they are still committed in supporting resistance movements in the region. The Trump administration here is listening to two sides, the neocons and the MAGA. The MAGA is telling Trump that what has been done is more than sufficient. You cannot go into war again with Iran. We have more important things to do, more priorities for our own national security. In another war in Iran, it's going to be a MIGA, make Israel great again. They are pressuring Trump that you cannot go into another war because it's not in the interest of our own national security. The neocons and the Likudists, they are trying to tell Trump that
even Trump's advisors?
Yes, exactly, because his advisors are split.
Yes.
He has Marco Rubio, he has Mike Waltz, he has another second or third class officials in his administration. They are they are adopting the vision of Benjamin Netanyahu that we have to go again into war. But the MAGA officials, and led by J.D. Vance, they are telling Trump openly that we cannot do this anymore because we have our own national security strategy, we have our own priorities, because Benjamin Netanyahu wants continuous, endless wars. We cannot follow him on everything. We have followed him during last June. We are not willing to do this again.
Okay, who would he listen to?
I think Trump made some signs that he is now willing to listen to what MAGA are telling him, because we are now into primaries, preparing for the midterms in less than a year. So he has to...
Maybe in an exchange of what Rubio wants in Venezuela.
Well, in Venezuela, a regime change in Venezuela might be easier. We have to make it clear that MAGA, they are not against the war for, moral reasons.
Yes.
They are against the war for economic reasons.
You're saying they have more important files on their agenda.
Yes, and they, if there is something in front of them, and they assess that they can win without any costs, they can go for it. They would go for it, as what is portrayed with Venezuela. But with Iran, they know that there would be an aftermath that would hurt their national interests in the region. They know it's not going to be a short war. If they listen to Benjamin Netanyahu, because Benjamin Netanyahu wants an all-out war.
Okay.
It's going to be a long war. That's why they don't want it,
yes,
for economic reasons.
Moving to the ongoing threats against Lebanon, where Israeli commentators underscore the necessity of disarming Hezbollah, even if this requires operations against the Lebanese army. What do you make out of what was said targeting the Lebanese army?
Well, this reflects how certain elements in the Israeli government and in the military establishment, they are still, daydreaming about another invasion of Lebanon. They are not satisfied. They want more. And we know that when, in the case of Lebanon, the more the Lebanese government is expressing its willingness to give more to the Americans and the Israelis in the end.
Concerning negotiations.
Yes, the more the Israelis are going to be more demanding. That's the situation here, because they are not satisfied with the Lebanese army stance here. And we know that the Likudist Israel lobby in Washington, they presented through some congressmen a repeal of the National Defense Authorization Act 2026. there is a section that states openly that the aid given by the U.S. to the Lebanese army is going to be in the face of a some kind of mechanism to assess whether the Lebanese army did something with regards to the disarmament of Hezbollah or not. If they assess that the Lebanese army didn't do this, they are going to stop the aid to the Lebanese army. This is a precedent about what the Israelis are planning for Lebanon. They don't care. I think they are splitting the negotiations path and the aggression, their intentions toward Lebanon. But I still assess my personal opinion that the Americans are not going to let the Israelis wage a new expanded war against Lebanon that includes incursions inside Lebanon to maximize the areas that they occupy in South Lebanon. Up to now, the stance, the official stance of the Lebanese government as well as the resistance, they are openly saying that we have done what is required from our side. There are no resistance actions
yes.
to the southern part of the Litani River. That's why the Israelis cannot claim that we have not committed to the ceasefire agreement.
Okay.
We are committed to the ceasefire agreement. That's why we listened from Tom Barwak, the U.S. envoy to the region, that we may take into consideration that disarming Hezbollah is going to be impossible.
Okay.
That's why they are assessing another way. They are talking about freezing the weapons,
yes.
the heavy artillery with the resistance.
Okay. 1 year after the fall of Assad's regime in Syria and the rise of al-Julani to power there, Israeli territorial incursions territory continues to escalate, with Hebrew media pointing to real risk threatening al-Julani and his regime. Do you think that these comments are related to the recent events in Beijing?
I think that the Israelis are still assessing, pushing Syria into partitioning. They have been talking about assassinating, a possible plan to assassinate al-Julani. They are still seriously assessing that their interest is in a partitioned Syria.
Okay.
That's why when they talk about the stability in Syria, we all know there is no stability in Syria.
Yes.
It's like an excuse for what they are going to do okay. in the southern part of Syria. Exactly.
Okay, Mr. Ali Murad, writer and political researcher. Unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you very much for joining us in today's episode.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, dear brothers and sisters, salam, and congratulations on the blessed birth anniversary of Lady Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. This is a day of joy for all who love the Prophet's family, a day to remember one of the greatest women in history, actually the best, whose light continues to guide us. On this occasion, I'd like to share a beautiful narration. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his holy progeny, once asked Imam Ali alayhi salam about Lady Fatima after they married. And Imam Ali alayhi salam replied, "She is the best helper in obeying God." She is the best helper in obeying God. What a simple but profound description. In just a few words, Imam alayhi salam teaches us what an ideal spouse should be, a true partner on the journey of faith and life. Think about it. When two people marry, it's not just about sharing a home, food, or daily routines. Marriage is about walking together toward God, supporting one another in becoming better human beings, and raising children who embody goodness and kindness and faith. Lady Fatima and Imam Ali alayhi salam, this great couple, gave us the most perfect example. Their home was modest, but their hearts were full of faith. The struggles were many, but their unity made them strong. Together they raised children like Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, and Lady Zainab, salamullah alayhim, and each of whom became a shining star for humanity. This hadith also carries a lesson for all of us. When choosing a spouse or nurturing your current marriage, we should ask, does this relationship help me become a better person? Does it bring me closer to God? Does it help us raise good children who can be a blessing to the world? So in our time, marriage is often portrayed as a source of personal comfort or social success. But the Islamic vision is deeper. A spouse is meant to be a companion in worship, a partner in patience, a teammate in raising a family that can leave behind a legacy of goodness. So, as we celebrate the birth of Lady Fatima, let us reflect on her example. Whether we are married, preparing for marriage, or advising our children, let's remember this principle. The best marriage is one where both partners are helpers to one another in the obedience of God. May Allah grant us spouses who bring us closer to Him, homes filled with love and faith, and children who become sources of light for humanity. Once again, congratulations to you all on this joyous occasion. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
القرآن نور وبيان، القرآن هدي الإيمان، القرآن مسك الختام.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Welcome to this edition of Let's Recite the Quran. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. My name is Muhammad, and with me today in the studio, the usual brothers, Brother Ali, Hassan, Hussein, and Masoom. Welcome to you all, brothers, and welcome to this program, dear listeners. In this episode, we will be reciting Surah Nuh, continuing the recitation of Surah Nuh, and this will be the last episode for that chapter because we are in the last four verses of that chapter, verses number 25, 26, 27, and 28 of chapter 71 of the Noble Quran, and this chapter only has 28 verses. I'll ask Brother Ali, without any further ado, to please take the honor of reciting verse number 25 of Surah Nuh. Brother Ali, Bismillah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم مما خطيئاتهم أغرقوا فأدخلوا نارا فلم يجدوا لهم من دون الله أنصارا
أنصارا.
Yes.
First of all, there is a ghunna because yeah. There is ikhfa here. And then the Sa and Ra are both of them tafkhim in this case. Ansara. All right, let's begin. Let's go from the beginning of the verse. Mimma. The first mim, because you're beginning with it, even if there is shadda, there is no form of ghunna involved. But the second mim, because it's in the middle of the recitation and it's shadda, you have to give it a ghunna. Ghunna basically means a nasal sound and two counts of stretch. Keep in mind, the ghunna is equal to nasal sound plus two counts of stretch. Mimma khati'atihim, kha and ta, both of them are tafkhim, that is. Khati, right? Now, this stretch, this med, Brother Ali, tell me, what kind of a med is this?
This one is wajib.
Wajib, and because it's muttasil, it's you have to go for how many counts?
Six
beats, okay?
Yes.
Khati'atihim, right? Ughriqu, ghain and qa, both of them are tafkhim letters. Ughriqu, fa'udkhilu, udkhilu. What ruling is applied in the dal of this udkhilu?
We have qalqala.
Qalqala. Qalqala basically means that whenever we have qutub jad letters, qaf, ta, ba, jim, and dal, and they're sakin, we give an echoing sound because these letters have a very similar sound when they are sakin. To differentiate between these letters, we give an echoing sound. Originally, it would have been fa'udkhilu, right? But after the application of qalqala, it becomes fa'udkhilu, udkhilu, right? The kha again is a tafkhim letter. Udkhilu, right? Nara, not nara. It's a very, because again, tafkhim and tarqiq, when you're practicing and you're trying to focus, it becomes confusing in many cases. Nara, the first med with for the na is a tarqiq. You recite it with flat, but the second one, because it's the med is for ra, you recite it with tafkhim. And ra, whenever we have fatha or dhamma on ra, or before ra and the ra itself is sakin, we apply tafkhim for ra. For you see, even English we are applying the tajweed for her. Falam yajid, the falam over here in this case is a normal idhar, right? There is no idgham or anything. Falam yajidu
lahum min dunillahi
lahum min, the entire meme and noon of min, both of them have ghunna, right? Ghunna, as we said again, it's a nasal sound plus a two-beat stretch. لَهُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ illahi. Why is that so? The first one is because of idgham of the meem. Look at the meem before. Lahum, the first meem at the end of lahum, ma. And then min, the first meem of. The second meem of this idgham, it will be from the beginning of min, right? At the end of lahum and the beginning of min. So there are two memes next to each other. In the recitation, we do idgham of them, the mithlain meme, because these are next to each other. And we do ghunna as well in this case. Lahum min. But the second ghunna is not because of idgham, it's because of ikhfa. We have the noon, and after that we have dal. Dal is one of the mouth letters. Whenever we have a noon sakin or tanween, and after that we have one of the mouth letters, we do ikhfa of noon. Ikhfa means hiding the sound of noon and giving it a nasal sound plus a two-beat stretch, basically ghunna. لَهُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنصَارًا. The أَنصَارًا, again, as we mentioned in the beginning, is the noon over here. We have ghunna because of the same ikhfa, right? And sara, it's not sara, right? Sara. First of all, it's not seen, it's sad. Second of all, it's tafkhim. We have to recite with a rounded mouth and a heavy voice. Oh, the first verse took so long to explain.
مِمَّا خَطِيئَاتِهِمْ أُغْرِقُوا فَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا فَلَمْ يَجِدُوا لَهُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنصَارًا.
Because of their sins they were drowned and put into the fire, and they found not for themselves besides Allah any helpers.
The second one, inshallah, we will try to summarize as much as possible in the interest of time. Brother Hassan, please take the honor of reciting verse number 26 of Surah Nuh.
وقال نوح ربي لا تذر على الأرض من الكافرين ديارا.
أحسنتم. You can try it a bit better, but I will not, in the interest of time, I will just correct the recitation for you.
وقال نوح ربي لا تذر على الأرض من الكافرين ديارا.
Right? Now keep in mind again, as we mentioned in the previous episode as well, Nuhur Rabbi. It was originally Nuhun Rabbi, but because of Idgham basically means that whenever we have Nun Sakin or Tanween, and then after that we have Yarmanun letters, Ya, Ra, Mim, Lam, Nun, and Wow, right? Although I didn't do it in the correct order. Any of these letters, whenever we have after Nun Sakin or Tanween, we apply Idgham. Idgham means merging the Nun with these letters. Right, and for exceptionally for Ra and Lam, we do it without Ghunna. There is no nasal sound or stretching for when we have the idgham of Noon and Ra or Lam. Right, but for the other ones, Yamun, Ya, Mim, Waw, and Noon, we do Ghunna, nasal sound and stretching. In this case, is وَقَالَ نُوحُ الرَّبِّ, as if the Nuhun, the Noon of the Tanween of Nuhun, is non-existent. Right.
وَقَالَ نُوحُ الرَّبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا.
Again, دَيَّا is a tarqiq recitation. Ra is with tafkhim. دَيَّارًا.
وَقَالَ نُوحُ الرَّبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا.
And Noah said, My Lord, do not leave upon the earth from among the disbelievers an inhabitant.
All right, so without any further ado, I'll ask Brother Masoom to please take the honor of reciting verse number 27 for us.
إِنَّكَ إِن تَذَرْهُمْ يُضِلُّوا عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا.
أحسنتم. In the interest of time, I will be very quick in the pointing out of the tajweed point. إِنَّكَ إِن تَذَرُهُمْ. There is a ghunna involved. Why is that, sir, brother Masoom?
It's because of ikhfa.
Ikhfa, very good. Ikhfa basically says that whenever we have nun sakin or tanween, and after that we have any of the mouth letters, in this case it is ta, we silence a little bit the sound of nun, and we apply ghunna.
إِنَّكَ إِن تَذَرُهُمْ يُضِلُّوا عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُوا.
Now, what kind of a med is this in this case, my brother معصوم
It's جائز one
جائز منفصل correct
yes
so in this case what happens how many counts are we allowed
takes to four counts
exactly so we can go four or up to five counts as well yeah. because it's جائز منفصل you can go and say يَلِدُ إِلَّا or يَلِدُ إِلَّا either four or five it's up to you or you can also go up to six there is no problem in that فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا now keep in mind again تَفْخِيمًا تَرْقِيق فَا تَرْقِيق جِ تَرْقِيق رَا again here is تَفْخِيم Now again, tafkhim and taqeed, the difference is that tafkhim letters and tafkhim's pronunciation and recitation, you round your mouth and you give it a heavy voice. But for taqeed, you flatten the mouth as if you're smiling and you give it a normal, flat pronunciation of the letter. Fajiran kaffara. Right?
Innaka in tadarhum yudillu ibadaka wa la yalidu illa fajiran.
Indeed, if you leave them, they will mislead your servants and not beget except every wicked one and confirmed disbeliever.
And in the last verse of this chapter, and I believe one of the longer verses of this chapter, will be, inshallah, in the destiny of Brother Hussein. Brother Hussein,
yes.
please take the honor.
رب اغفر لي ولوالدي ولمن دخل بيتي مؤمنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات ولا تزد الظالمين إلا تبارا
أحسنتم a very beautiful recitation. You could have stopped and did waqf at mu'minat, but then since you were capable of continuing, and it is better to continue because the waqf at mu'minat is a salah, salah and ya, at least in my copy of the Quran. This means that whenever you see this, you can continue, but it's better that you can stop, but it's better that you continue reciting. And the meaning is much more clearer if you do so.
رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِيَ مُؤْمِنًا وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ